Balls back on the Boss Man Show with Cal Poly Mustangs head coach John Smith out of the Big West Conference. Coach Smith, good to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, JR?
Coach, I can't complain, man. Enjoying my going on my 8-month vacation, coach. So I'm trying to make the best of it.
I hear you. I hear you, man. Tough times, but we'll all get through it.
Yes, indeed. Well, coach, let me take you back to March 11th, which was my birthday, when everything shut down in the NBA and college basketball started to shut down. So where were your team, man, at that point, March 11th, and how did you manage going from being on campus to spring break to not seeing you guys anymore than being home virtual? So how was that transition for you and your staff, coach?
First of all, my birthday is March 12th, so, you know, shout out to both of us.
Yes, but, Pisces.
During that time, yes, sir. During that time, I was actually out recruiting because, our season ended abruptly, the last game of conference. And so I was down going to see our incoming freshman who was playing in the state tournament game. And I knew something was brewing that night, you know, with the Jazz game and that being canceled. So immediately it made me realize that we're about to go through something different and our staff has to be prepared for it. So I called our coaches and tried to get them to understand that, you know, start preparing. We got to do something differently. It looks like they're going to shut down a lot of things. And, you know, so we just started preparing for, you know, how we're going to recruit moving forward virtually and just how we're going to meet with guys, you know, but no one knew what was going to happen. But it was a shock.
And I'm pretty sure, coach, your academic advisor played a big role because guys going from being on campus to being virtual, and when they can go to class with their own devices from their homes, and if they miss class, coach can't make them run the day missing class. So how was that holding those guys accountable with being at home with the academic advisor being to themselves? I know they have Blackboard, but hey, it's good on online assignment. They can't get punished for it right away.
You're right about that. But fortunately for us, you know, we're at a high academic institution that requires that you bring in a certain type of student athlete that understands the importance of academics. So our guys really handled it. The transition was seamless. It was pretty good. But, you know, we tried to make sure that we met with them virtually every week, still had our breakout meetings. You know, each coach has four guys that they have to monitor weekly. And they stayed on top of them via Zoom and make sure that their time management skills were on point and you know, they were turning in the assignments and were prepared for tests to come. And we have our best quarter academically, you know, and some people may call it the coronavirus boost, but, you know, I'll take it any way we can get it.
Oh, yeah, and mess with the APRs out here. We know how that is. So any way you can get it, hey. It looks good for sure.
Right, no doubt.
Now, coach, strength conditioning wise, coach, I know the guys at home their own devices. Now, me, I'm a hoop in my backyard here, but everybody blesses are they have a hoop in their backyard. So, how do you kind of keep the guys kind of in quasi basketball shape, doing things to kind of keep their bodies to a certain level and get some shots up if they could? So, how was that process to kind of get guys kind of shut down a little bit of work here and there?
Well, our strength and conditioning coach did a great job of you know, showing some videos of how to do some band work and some body movement, some body exercises, and they did virtual workouts, you know, every week with our strength and conditioning coach as well. And she sent out some workouts for them and just checked in with them periodically. And then our coaches made some basketball workouts for the guys. What they can do and you know in the backyard if they have a hoop because you know everything was shut down, so we just tried to really harp on them and get them to understand that the importance of trying to stay in shape, because it's so quick to get out of shape, out of basketball shape at that. So you know, if you can't get in the gym, you can at least do some push-ups, sit-ups, and you can run outside on the track. So we tried to do a lot of that together as a team.
And, coach, how's it been seeing you guys back? Did it how's it been trying to get those guys kind of get back in the rhythm? Because I know you don't want to go too hard with the guys and cause a knee, ankle, something nagging all year long. So how's it been since you got you guys back out there with you guys doing workouts?
Yeah, you know, great point. You know, fortunately for us in California, we sit in an area that's really not impacted as much as Southern California and Northern California. We sit in the Central Coast. So we were able to get our guys back June 15th, where people, you know, some other schools in California still haven't gotten their guys back yet. So, but to your point, we slowly brought them back in. You know, they had to, for 2 weeks, you know, just do individual workouts on their own. So we gave them some workouts. And then once we hit July 21st, we were able to do our summer access with the guys, but we still, you know, stayed socially distant. Three to a basket and just did skill work. And, you know, from a perfectionist, a coach, you know, every coach at this level, they're trying to get their system in and they want it, you know, perfected, but you can't right now with all the stipulations that you have to go through with the quarantine and everything and socially distanced. So in my mind, I just tried to make sure that we got our guys just a lot of shots and a lot of fundamental work, you know, footwork, offensively and defensively, and you know the system will take care of itself because everybody's going to be behind.
Most definitely. And you know, coach, what's so crazy about it is that, hey man, dog, this period, you know who are the real ballers are, because you have to be a self-starter right now and motivate yourself right now, because you don't have that push from coach to say work out, get shots up. So now they kind of on their own, having to get themselves together. You really see who really cares about the love of the game and who doesn't.
Definitely. It definitely separates the good from the mediocre. And we always talk about in the recruiting process, intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. You know, do I have to dangle a carrot in front of you extrinsically to get you motivated to chase after it? Or do you have it within yourself to go after it? And there's ways that we try and pick and pull during the conversation with a kid to see if they have that intrinsic motivation. And fortunately for us, we have a lot of guys that do. They've done a great job so far.
Now, coach, I know also with the pandemic, we had to deal with racial unrest in our country we got going on right now. So how'd you address that with your team and trying to, you know, get them understanding, hey, check off that Cal Poly gear. You're just a young black man in America. You're a young, you know, everybody in the country, wherever. You're just a young man. And if you don't handle this the right way or something, may go against you, and how to handle a situation when they come up. So how to kind of go about your young men, trying to teach them as we get this right in our country with all the unrest we've had since the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Barry Brown Taylor, and others over the past few months?
Yeah, you know, and to that point, like you and I know, as a head coach and a leader, it's your responsibility to understand that you have to put yourself in the shoes of a 18 to 22 year old, and think about it. You know, when I was 18 to 22, you know, that's when the Rodney King's beatings took place, and I was in California, and how angry I was, and how I wanted to just react in an angrily way, you know. And so when the George Floyd incident went down, the first thing I did was call my team and tried to talk to them and get what they were feeling. And, you know, quite a few were pretty pissed off. And I tried to remind them that anger is one letter short of danger. And how you respond to it, you know, can have some big ramifications. So you want to, you know, take a deep breath, you know, get all the information that you can and try and make sure that you are using your platform in the right way. We know that that was murder. We know that that was racially motivated. But how can we change it? And what is it doing? You know, how can we make an impact in our community? You know, George Floyd didn't get murdered in our community. So to protest and march and shut down, you know, businesses during a pandemic where they're already hurting for economic status, that probably wouldn't be the right way to do it in our community. So I was trying to get our guys to understand to probably meet with some police officers and meet with some people in the higher ups in the city and try and, you know, get your voice heard, maybe at a park and get people to understand that, you know, there needs to be change. There needs to be police reform. There needs to be police education on the brutality and the racial profiling that goes on and so forth and so on. So we've had a lot of discussions about that. And, you know, fortunately for us, our guys have reacted in the right way. But there's been some things that transpired in our community that didn't go right. But all we can do is continue to educate these guys and get them to use their platform the right way and point out what's right.
Coach, I felt the same thing, you know, being in my 30s and I have a radio platform that stretches from, you know, Chattanooga to Macon and beyond digitally. And I decided to talk more about social issues as well, start a nonprofit. So I will tell you, Coach, I've lost 4 sponsors because of this, but it's okay. I don't need them anyway. But it's time to make a change, do what's right for my community. I'm 33 years old. I can relate to college kids and people older than me as well. So I'm right in that perfect zone to kind of make impact. So I'm trying my best with the radio show here and the found nonprofit I've started. So I'm trying, Coach. Now I hope other young men listen to this interview will do the same thing, because we can do it together, enact change, do it the right way, have a purpose, state what your mission is, and go from there, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we met with I personally met with a police officer, and I tried to get inside knowledge of what was going down, and he told me, he's like, Coach, I want you to get prepared. Those officers are going to get off in Kentucky, and the majority of the officers in Minnesota are going to get off because of policies and procedures. So we talked about how can that change and how can we make that change, and it starts with voting and understanding what's on the ballot to change these policies and procedures within each community and each police force. And it starts right there, you know, because it's crazy that they want to, you know, not hold these officers accountable for what they did.
Well, you know, here in Atlanta, our DA was up for re-election, and because he charged the 2 officers to kill the young man, Rayshard Brooks, at the Wendy's in Southwest Atlanta, he lost the election. Because the police union, you know, got together against him, so he lost the election too. So just see, when you do the right thing, even you still lose. But at least he lost the election doing the right thing, talking to officers who killed that young man at Wendy's in Southwest Atlanta. So for me, you know, you lost, you still won in my book.
Exactly, 100%.
Now, Coach, you talked about recruiting virtually. So how was it recruiting virtually? Were they able to kind of expand your reach, save a little bit on the budget as well, having to go out and travel and all showing young men your campus virtually and doing virtual visits? So how was that, and is that something you keep doing going forward?
It was tough, you know, and we're going to have to keep doing it moving forward because NCAA has extended the dead period all the way until January, so we can't go out to recruit. So we just have to, you know, get creative and create different Zooms and share our screen of our program, of how we do things and how beautiful the campus is and how connected we are to people that can help extend this from a 4-year degree to a 40-year degree. That's what we always try and harp on here. You know, the ball's going to stop bouncing one day soon, and you got to align yourself with people that can help you continue to be a professional in some way, shape, or form. And this college does a great job of that, and I'm fortunate to be the head coach here. We just try and paint that picture for whoever we talk to.
Now, Coach, how was it for you year one, man, and trying to, you know, adjust to a new program, being a head coach now? Then COVID hits going into year two. So talk to us about your time so far at Cal Poly, how it was year one and going to year two with all the things you had dealt with going into year two. How's it been for you?
You know, anytime you take over a new program, there's going to be some hard times and some strife and adversity. And I knew that. You know, I've been a part of a rebuild everywhere I've been the last 3 times. You know, I took over a junior college program that in one of the toughest areas in California and rebuilt that to a championship level. Then moved on to another junior college program that, you know, was down on their luck and only had 2 players, and rebuilt it, and by the year 4, we won a championship, a state championship. And then with our good friend, yours and I's, our good friend DJ Taylor, when we took over that, it was a mess. So I knew coming in here, it was going to be a challenge, and, you know, as it was. And, you know, but all you could do is continue to build and learn from, you know, those past 3 places that I was at, and try and continue to focus on 1 year at a time, and one game at a time, one day at a time, you know, and that's what we've been doing, and just chipping away at it. And we feel that by year three, we'll be where we need to be. We're getting there. We're young this year because we brought in 7 new guys and 6 of them are freshmen. So, you know, there's going to be some more growing pains on top of the COVID-19. So, but I'm ready for it. I'm built for it.
Well, tell us about your new guys. I'll ask you about it. It kind of read my mind, Coach. Tell us about your newcomers, who you have coming into your roster, the young men that's going to help build this Cal Poly Mustang program up for you. Tell us about those young, great young men you brought in there.
Yeah, so, you know, we try and recruit kids that come from winning programs, because to win is hard at any level. And it takes a selfless mindset. And we have 2 kids from Etowanda High School in Southern California that is probably one of the winningest high schools in Southern California in the area, and Brantley Stevenson are cut from a different cloth, and I think that they're going to be very special in this conference. Cameron Pierce is the point guard, and Etowanda High School, mind you, has had 2 former point guards be in the NBA in Darren Collison and Jordan McLaughlin, and he's cut from that same cloth. And then Brantley Stevenson is a 6'4" combo guard that's just nasty. You know, he doesn't care who's in front of him. He's going to try and attack you offensively and defensively. So we added those 2 guys, and then we added 2 guys from Modern Day, which is one of the winningest programs in the nation, a 6'4 combo guard by the name of Aiden Prukop, and a 6'3 walk-on by the name of Ryan Evans that I think could be special. And then we have a 6'7 stretch 4 man from Utah by the name of Dyson Kohler. And he's built kind of like Charles Barkley, but he shoots it. And, you know, he really works hard. I think we beat out Utah and BYU. So those are some big programs to steal a kid out of Utah from. So that tells you the talent level that he has. And then we got a 6'7 and a half combo guard from San Diego. And when I was at Fullerton, I was kind of recruiting him, not so much because he was 6'1 and scrawny and skinny. I knew his head coach. He's like, Coach, he's talented. I was like, but he's 6'1 and a 105 going into his junior year. Well, by the end of his senior year, he grew 6 inches, kind of like Anthony.
AD.
Yeah. And he's 6'7 and a half with the same skill set, you know, and I think he has a chance to be very, very, very good. And then we topped it off with a grad transfer from University of Iowa by the name of Riley Teal, a 6'7 athletic post guy. But, you know, he's someone that's gone every single day the last 4 years against Luka Garza, who I feel was one of the best posts in the country. We played them last year. And so to add that experience to that youth, I think helps us tremendously for year 2.
That coach, non-conference games-wise, you know, they're starting the 25th, so you're losing 2 weeks of where you can get those money games. So how's it been trying to get the schedule done, trying to, you know, play 20 games in the conference or whatever, 18 in the conference, plus the non-conference games, and get your money in that you need to raise it for the school. So how's that been so far? I know it's been probably, you know, a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, it has been. But fortunately for us, 2 out of 3 of our money games fell after November 25th. So those stayed on our schedule. And then we had an MTE, a multiple team event, that started November 25th. So we're able to keep that. And that's you know, part of the money games as well. So for us, we were fortunate of how the start date hit. We still have to find 2 more games. And we're in negotiations with a couple different schools. So we're better off than a lot of other teams, I should say, knock on wood, you know, until we get those contracts completely signed. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I saw some of them contracts, Coach. Them COVID clauses, those, if it's fans, it's this number. If it's not, it's this. Coach, I feel bad for you guys, man. I told my Power 5 buddies, y'all are running a scheme, but I know why you do it, but it's not right.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. But you know, they have the power. That's why they call it Power 5.
You got that right. I've told Josh Pastner, how about you play some of my friends? Oh, you said it's all about you. Yes, pretty much. I want to bring my guy out of town, man. You can do it, man. You do it for me. He has laughs, but yeah.
And I got a Georgia kid on my team. So yeah, tell him to schedule us. We'll come back there.
Yeah, so I'm trying, man. I'm trying to be a broker here, coach. Now, that's what I got for you. You talk right about our guy, Coach Taylor, man. He told me about, you know, the golf game you guys had, man, you golfing together. So how was that golfing trip? And, you know, tell me about his golf game. Between you, Sprinkle, and him, who's the best golfer? I want to know this, man.
Look here. I listened to your interview with him. I heard what he said. Now,
yeah, respond to it. That's what I've got to ask. Get on the record here.
But you know what he was saying. He was speaking the truth. You know, out of everybody, my game's the worst. You know, I picked up the game kind of late, and I started getting pretty good, and then I blew up my knee about, you know, 8-9 years ago, and I stopped playing. And, you know, I could par a hole, and then the next hole, I'm hitting like a snowman, 10 shots just to get there. But, you know, it's getting there. But it was just fun just being out on the course, fellowshipping with someone that you grinded so hard for and grinding together and just, you know, appreciating each other's relationship and what we mean to each other. It was just great being around him. I didn't get a chance to go golfing with Sprinkle. Sprinkle's a natural. You know, he's one of the best shooters that you ever seen on a basketball court, and he carries it over onto the golf course. His swing is just so smooth, but he just makes it look too easy. So I don't golf with Spring.
I feel you on that, man. Hey, look, I told Taylor, I'm a tennis man, but my golf swing is everything is going left. I'm gonna pull it across my body. I'm one of those swingers. I'm gonna hit it. It's gonna go left every time. It's going left.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
There's no left.
Same, bro.
Yes, indeed. And now, last one, guy. For how was the playing? I know he talked. You knew his stuff, and you know he knew. So, how was playing him, knowing that you know his stuff? And did the intel you have work when we beat him that one time?
You know what? And me and him always used to say this to our teams, like, you know, you can know everything about the other person. But all that matters is how you respond once you get hit in the mouth, you know. And although I knew everything that he was going to do, you know, the guys that he had on his team, they're straight killers, you know. And there's a reason why, like, the games were high scoring, both of them. And we knew what we were going to do to each other. But you can have the best scout report, but when you have guys that just are about – you know, that work, it makes it hard. And then, you know, he changed up some of his sets a little bit. We were joking with each other on the golf course. I was like, hey, man, when you went zone, I was expecting you to do this, this, and this, because that's all we did when I was together. And then you pulled out a flare screen and had a few threes. I had to get out of zone in a hurry. He's like, what'd you expect? You know? So, but it was fun because my son and I, we would just look down and wait for him to make a call, and then we'd bark out to our team to get in the proper position. So it was just a good chess match. And that's what coaching is about, is a chess match, and I loved it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it again this year, seeing how you guys, you know, go at it, because I know I'm neutral in it. I'm neutral, but I'm going to be enjoying the battle, though. I'm neutral, though. I like both of you.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, man. We split, man. And I'll tell you what, those games were fun to watch, fun to be a part of. We were just laughing the whole time.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach Smith, good to catch up with you. Hope you and your wife stay safe out there, man. And I hope, you know, you can bring your Georgia kid to Georgia. Hopefully we'll get some Tom Crean or Josh to do something for you.
Yeah, no doubt. And before he gets out of there, I guarantee you we will be in Georgia playing somebody. Georgia State, Georgia Tech, somebody. So once we do, I'll definitely catch up with you.
Yes, indeed. Coach, hey, be safe, man. Talk to you real soon. I enjoyed it as always, man.
Same here, man. Take care.
All right, it's John Smith on the Boss Man Show.